Quiet now, everybody. Quiet, listen to me. We're going to start a show. Now, some of you people have been with me before. You know it's going to be a tough grind. You're going to dance until your feet fall off. You're not able to stand up any longer. But we're going to have a show.
Thanks for joining the Pink Bidot Podcast. I'm Jim Aldred, and today we have Griffin Schumer. Griffin is an investor, a real estate investor, and he invests in mobile home parks, and he's located out in Indiana. Griffin, how you doing?
Fantastic. Glad to be here, Jim.
Thanks for coming on. Give us a little bio on yourself, telling us how you got into mobile home park investing. And
well, I definitely think the story starts at a young age. So when I was a kid, I started a little lawn mowing business. Actually worked alongside my grandpa, and we used to manage a portfolio of rental properties. Then when I got into high school, I took over doing all of that, and then I parlayed that into a furniture moving business where I partnered up with one of the big furniture guys in Bloomington, Indiana. And every, you know, August when all the students move in, he always has an overload of, people coming through the store, and he can't deliver all their furniture. So I used to just deliver furniture, $40 a pop, and we'd make a few grand in a couple days. Then I went to college where I wrestled for 4 years. And from there, as I was coming out of school, my dad was like, hey, I want to start a business. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet. And I had told him I had aspirations, you know, to be an entrepreneur. He'd known that for a long time. But when I came out, we opened a retailer dealership. So basically I sell manufactured and modular homes. That's my day job. And then when the pandemic hit, our business slowed way down and I realized, hey, I need some residual income coming in no matter what's going on out in the marketplace. And that kind of steered me towards mobile home parks. And we kind of, you know, I took probably 2 years to get educated on it. And then we started looking at deals. And from there, we bought our first mobile home park.
So you actually manufacture the manufactured homes?
So I buy them from a factory and then we sell them, much like a car dealership.
Okay. Do you modify them at all?
We do a little bit. On the modular homes, you know, we sometimes ship in just the shell. So, you know, we'll finish all the kitchen, all the flooring, cabinetry, plumbing fixtures, where there's kind of two different products going on. So a manufactured home, it's built to the HUD code, which is it's a federal code across the whole United States. And it's kind of a minimum standard of living. And the modular code, it's built to the state code. So whatever state that house is going to, it's built to the state code.
Now, are they eligible for traditional real estate financing, HUD financing, HUD loan? Or
they are. It just depends. I know some lenders that will do double wide financing, the same as like doing a stick built home, you know, like a regular construction loan. If you start getting into lower end, like single wide product, you're going to be looking at more national lenders like 21st Home Mortgage, Triad. There's some large lenders that do both chattel loans. So just loaning on the home, not the land. And then there are, and then there's some that will bundle the land home together.
I'm in Massachusetts and we can't, mobile home parks, we're not able to get loans for traditional real estate loans.
Yeah, I definitely don't know what it's like out on the East Coast there. And even in the surrounding states around Indiana, it's different when you bounce from Illinois to Ohio and Michigan. It's different.
Right. How many mobile home parks are there in Indiana?
You know what? I guess there's probably somewhere around 500 would be my guess.
Really?
And it's fluctuating every year. That number's actually shrinking across the country.
Now, this was not this was a family business, or wasn't you just started it up?
Yeah, so three generations of my family, me, my dad, and my grandpa, we opened this business. My grandpa, when he actually started in the manufactured housing industry in the 80s, and he sold homes all the way up until the 08 recession hit, and then he got out and helped my dad. My dad owns a number of businesses, but when I was coming out of school, you know, the housing market was on the rise, and we were like, hey, now's a good time to get back in.
Absolutely. In your area, how long do you think how long have mobile parks been around? early 20th century?
Most mobile home parks started popping up in the, probably the earliest ones you'd see would be like the 30s and the 40s. And, you know, they were a lot more, you know, almost like more like a camper, like RV and camper related. But then as things progressed, you see a lot of communities are dated between 1968 and 1975. There's kind of this huge, I don't know what was going on then, but it was definitely becoming more popular to build mobile home parks. That was kind of the beginning of the HUD code being established for housing. So a lot of the communities we're buying are dated back to then.
What kind of a price range do you have out there for mobile homes?
So we're actually, all the communities we own today are full rental communities. So we're not actually selling any homes right now. Okay. If we were to sell them in the community, they'd probably be ranging between $65,000 to $80,000, depending on, you know, the size of the home and amenities built into it. But our goal is in the next 10 to 15 years, we're going to hold our communities as rentals, much like an apartment complex. And then as we pay down our loan, we're going to start selling those homes off, and then we'll just own the land and rent the land.
You are or you are not strictly Indiana?
Today, I'm strictly Indiana. We have started looking for communities outside of Indiana, but we've had a ton of traction because we focus on heavily distressed communities. Just not a lot of people are targeting the highly distressed. And then we're also, we call ourselves a niche within a niche because we're doing something not a lot of people are doing, which is turning mobile home parks into brand new rental communities. We're leveraging our retail business because I can buy manufactured homes at wholesale pricing. And then, you know, I'm paying myself to build it. And then we get the cash flow on the other side from the rentals.
When you say distressed, what do you mean by that? The park is distressed and maybe on the brink of foreclosure? Or?
Yes, sometimes. The few communities that we've started off buying, I hear almost the same story over and over, which is mom and pop owned, like mom or dad built the park. And now the kids are taking over and the kids are, you know, in their 40s or 50s. They don't have a ton of interest in running it, or they don't understand how to run a community. And we're going in there. They've got the first community we bought. It had 25 abandoned homes out of 30 lots. So it was bringing in almost no income or losing income.
People just moved out of the units and they never get anybody to take them over?
Yep. So we took that over. We actually cleaned out the entire community down to just bare land. And then we've gone in, redone all the infrastructure, and we're putting new housing in.
A lot of these units, they're very tired. Is that the case?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the average age of the homes is about the same age as the community. I mean, a lot of these abandoned homes that were taken over, they were put in there the same time that community was built.
These mobile home parks are pretty much off the radar of a lot of people around here. I mentioned to you in an email, I think, that I had an investor, a buyer, was looking at a mobile home park in Massachusetts. I think there were 20 units. And ultimately, he decided not to go forward, and somebody else bought it. Are they profitable?
Yes.
Enough to search them out?
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, we're buying these distressed communities at, you know, 30 to 40 cents on the dollar, because a lot of the larger conglomerates, you know, they're focusing on communities that are over 100 pads. You know, they already have a stable cash flow that they can build on. You know, they're not, you know, we're targeting almost completely abandoned, losing, you know, the uglier, the better is what we're looking for, because we're going to go in and turn it around. You know, I've got the team to do it. You know, we've built our contractor base over the last 10 years. So we can go in anywhere in Indiana and quickly and efficiently clean these out, bring new homes in. And, you know, we're getting very competitive rent to, you know, other apartment complexes, even to single family homes. And, you know, we can build it at $80 to $90 a square foot per unit. So it really, at the end of the day, it definitely comes down to what you bought it for. But we kind of have some strict criteria for what we will, you know, spend on a community.
Okay, so you have your own parameters. Would you look at the numbers that it's currently generating, what you expect out of it, and do they always work out for you when you buy one of these parks?
You know, to date, they
find you get in over your head.
To date, I haven't gotten it over my head yet, but I definitely think there's going to be a lot of investors who are going to be running into problems here as interest rates continue to climb and, you know, these adjustable rates kick in. But we've kind of set ourselves up with the ability to take on larger payments if necessary. And we're buying these communities at such a discount that I'm able to manage my numbers just because of what we're buying it at. And I know what it costs to build one of these because, you know, our retail business, you know, we've built over 100 to 150 homes over the last 5 years. So I really understand our numbers and what it takes to build a home. And, you know, we're testing these markets before we close on anything to make sure we can generate the rental demand we need to rent these.
What's the rents for something like this? Once you get into a park and you've got it somewhat rehab, you have it rehab. What is the type of rents that you can generate out of a pad?
So down where I'm at in southern Indiana, we're getting anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 from a single wide per month. Yep. But we're not putting in like your classic VOG'd home. Like we're putting in fully drywalled homes. We're giving people amenities. So like we're including trash and mowing service.
What was that buzzword you used? VOG?
VOG. Yep. Vinyl on gypsum. So it's your wall board. So like if you look behind me, that's a fully drywalled, you know, the wall strips that go up and down. That's kind of your classic mobile home look is VOG. And we've steered away from that.
That's inside the unit.
That's inside the unit. Mostly because if people trash it, it's a lot easier to paint drywall, to repair drywall. You know, we're looking at this as an asset we want to hold as long as we can.
So you do away with the vinyl?
We've done away with the vinyl, yep. And we're trying to get away from carpet, too. We're starting to pivot towards doing all rolled vinyl flooring coming out of the factory. And then all of our homes, you know, they still do some lower income housing. They don't use as good as materials, but we're doing all OSB wrapped homes, OSB deck board flooring. You know, we're preparing these homes for a long life cycle.
Do these mobile homes, do they typically have decks? Probably a deck to get in. Do they have decks in the back or how they typically?
Yes. So we're building decks onto the two entryways, one off the utility room, one off the front of the house. We're just doing basic treated lumber decks. We're doing gravel pads for now. But what our plan is over the next 5 years, when we have capital left over at the end of each year, we're actually going to start paving each gravel pad. And we've got some great ideas for how we're going to keep pumping money into these to increase the value.
Do you flip these at all?
I haven't yet. I'm actually working on one right now that we are going to do that, but it's not the same model. So I did buy a community that is all tenant owned homes. So we don't own any of the houses in there and we're actually bringing in two or three older units. We're going to fix them up. We're going to put them on rent to own contracts and then we are going to flip it. And then the plan is to turn that money into another new community deal.
How does one determine whether a mobile home is worth investing in? Is it different than a traditional commercial building or property?
Well, it's a great cash flow asset in terms of, you know, the people that own the true mobile home parks out there that they only own the land, it's very comparable to like a self-storage, especially if you're able to upgrade the infrastructure, you know, the water, the sewer, the electrical. If you're able to fix those things up and you sell those homes off, it really is recurring cash flow coming in with not a lot of overhead. With what we're doing, you know, we're running it much like an apartment complex, and I'm kind of doing that to give myself more ways to pay myself. As we scale, I'm scaling a property management company alongside it. And like I told you earlier, you know, I'm paying myself to build these. So I've kind of leveraged myself in every direction I can so that as we build these communities out, you know, we're making money while we build it, while we manage it, and then for our investors, the cash flow on the other side.
Do you personally manage these or do you hire a manager?
I'm doing it both ways. In one of our communities, we're actually almost done building it. It's outsourced to third-party management, mostly because it's about an hour and a half outside of my office, so it's just a little out of my wheelhouse. But the big one I'm working on right now, it's located less than 20 minutes from my office. So I'm self-managing all that. I have a small team helping me do that. And then actually, I'm getting ready to hire a couple people full-time here in March that, you know, we're going to be managing things even further away.
Towns, at least around here, don't like mobile home parks because they're considered personal property. You know, they don't get property taxes. And mobile home parks generally seem to be low income earners. They may have children, unless it's a seniors only. So they don't like them to be brought in. They're trying to get rid of them and maybe have the park redeveloped for single family homes or two family homes, whatever it is. Is it the same way out there in Indiana?
It definitely is. There's just so much negative stigma surrounded with mobile home parks and even the manufactured housing industry that, you know, it's an eyesore, that it's bad, that it's, you know, not good. But what we're kind of doing, because, you know, before we even start working on these projects, we do sit down with the city and we discuss, you know, our plans and what we do and what we want to do. And a lot of these highly distressed communities, they're producing no income. You know, there is not a lot of tax money coming in from them. And, you know, I'm able to present a plan showing them, hey, this is going to look a lot better. You know, we are actually going to attract a better tenant base because we're not just letting anybody into these communities. And it's gone really well.
Do you pull credit?
We do. Yep. We have a pretty strict screening we go through with people.
Corey, the whole thing?
Yep.
Okay. And then you said you do have foreclosures. I've actually taken several buyers to look at manufactured homes. They're manufactured. They don't have wheels. And they're very nice communities, over 55 communities. Really nice function hall, pool area, and the houses are well landscaped. They're very nice. They sell maybe high threes into the $400,000 range.
Wow.
Out here. Massachusetts, things are more expensive.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You can imagine. Griffin, I've run out of questions. You've taken my questions. You've expanded them. Anything I should have asked? Anything you wished I had asked you that you think listeners should know?
I gotcha. I would just say to anyone out there who's looking for their next house, whether you're a first-time home buyer, you're looking to downsize, don't rule out manufactured housing. It's come a long way. The homes are very energy efficient. One of the few complaints I get is about utility bills. I actually have had no complaints about utility bills. So I would definitely highly recommend to any of your listeners to look at this as a potential investment. There's a lot of cash flow opportunities. It's a shrinking space. And there is good quality housing out there within manufactured housing.
There is. Griffin Schirmer, mobile home investor from the Mid-Atlantic. What are they? No, not Mid-Atlantic. Great Lakes.
Midwest.
It's been a long time since I took geography. Midwest. Griffin, great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for listening to the Pink Door Podcast. Stay tuned for more episodes coming soon.